Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is Jan.
No.
It's February? Oh, yeah, it is February. I'm tripping. I don't even know. I'm going to just take a wild swing. The 3rd.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. I was about to say January 30th.
Like, you ain't seen us talking about Black History Month about 3 days already.
Oh, yeah. We got to be talking about the BHM.
Yes.
Peace to BHM. And peace to... Peace to Carter G. Woodson, who founded, was it Black History Week, I believe?
Yeah, or Negro Week.
Negro History Week, which is extended to Black History Month. Mm-hmm. I think it's the reason that it's February. What is the reason it's February again? There's a specific reason that it's this month.
Did it have something to do with MLK's birthday?
I don't remember.
Frederick Douglass' birthday.
Frederick Douglass.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew there was, because everybody's like, we need a longer month. Black people picked this month for a reason.
I think Frederick Douglass' birthday was the catalyst. I believe there were some other birthdays. I just can't remember. So,
okay.
Yeah, please don't eviscerate us.
I mean, shit, we already taught them more than niggas know anyway. People. Niggas don't know shit, bro.
They know, because people complain about Black History Month being the shortest month of the year.
Exactly, always. And not understanding why it's in February.
Right, right.
And this is just me now. This is not the other three.
This is just me.
But Black History Month, I want to give a shout out to Cola Booth.
Nigga,
I'm just giving her a shout. It's just me. I'm giving her a shout out.
In God's name.
I'm giving Cola Booth a shout out.
She's fucking Candyman. Listen, like, when that bitch
shows up. You better stop talking. Don't stop. Stop. You said you don't want none. So don't. Lord. Just let me hold this. This is me. Cola Booth, I believe you. I believe you. All your stories, I believe you. I believe you. Let's move on. How y'all doing today?
Ooh, now I'm about to get security.
No, I'm great.
This is me. She don't care.
I'm just.
I made it very clear. This was my shit, and I'm giving her love. I'm not. I believe. Anyway, let's move on.
I don't mention that lady's name. She's like number 88 on the Colts. She's kind of here,
but not
kinda
really.
Not
like I said. She's like Candyman. You talk about it. She shows up
like Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
That's number 88 on the coast.
Exactly. That's her point.
Okay. I got you. Marvin who?
I want to give a shout out to, well, first of all, since we're talking about Black History Month, we have to say a rest in peace to Miss Cicely Tyson.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we mentioned her last week on the show because she died. Yeah, she died.
We did.
It was during
the show.
The
the news came through during the show. Okay.
But we can still, we can talk about it more in depth now.
The one thing I wanted to point out, and I said this on Twitter, was that I think that we've been so traumatized by losing our greats and ending in the midst of, like, really terrible times, mm-hmm. that I think our initial reaction whenever we lose someone is to be like, oh, no, it's awful. No, don't say it. But, like, Cicely Tyson was 96. We've forgotten what it's like just to celebrate, like, that good old she got called home to glory.
In the same way we said the week previous about Mr. Aaron and Larry King. They were 86 and 87.
Yeah.
Like, these are our elders, and not trying to be morbid or anything, but we're only in February, and some more of our elders that we love are probably not going to make it to 2022 because most of them now are in their 80s and mid-80s.
Right.
These are older people. So, again, it's not that you don't mourn and you don't celebrate it, but don't be like, oh, my God, Cicely Tyson died. It's like...
because my thing is like 96.
She's almost 100 years old, man.
And with Cicely especially, she was so present. Like, Cicely be outside.
Cicely was talking on mics.
She was still working. She was on her press tour last week. And that's the other thing that was really...
That's Miss Tyson. You better put a handle
on it.
Right,
Miss Tyson. Miss Cicely. Mama Cicely. I've been saying Mother Cicely. Mother Cicely, right. Mother Cicely was... she was doing her book tour. And I think that's even more remarkable that her memoirs came out on Tuesday and she passed on Thursday. And that to me is like that. That was her saying, okay, I completed this work.
I'm done.
Put my things in order and now I can take my rest.
And that Gayle King interview was like the day before or 2 days before?
I mean, it might have been taped a couple days before, but yeah, it aired like the day before she passed. Bevy said she interviewed her on Monday.
Yeah,
you know? And that she was in good, that she was in, you know, she was sharp. She was in, you know, good mind. But yeah, like, you know, 96, man, that's a run. That's a lot of history that you've witnessed.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like a lot. Like she knew Malcolm. She knew Martin. She knew Harry Belafonte. She knew
Sidney Ozzy and Ruby and
Ozzy and Muhammad Ali and anybody else you want to name, like Sammy Davis. Like
he was married to Miles Davis.
She was married to Miles Davis. Like she knew Quincy. Like the Oprah's her daughter. Like not that I think I didn't know this, but just her and Tyler Perry. You know, they met much later in her life, but you know, Tyler Perry revered her, like literally, like held her on a pedestal. And when he hired her to be, I think she was in two or three movies.
Definitely she's been two. In a few, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But whatever they were, she said, I read a story where he said that they had a discussion, or I guess Mr. Tyson was talking about a discussion about how little she was paid for Sounder and Miss Jane Pittman and some of the earlier work she did, which is like phenomenal, like Oscar level.
Yeah, literally Oscar nominated.
Literally, and he was appalled. He was like, "But they paid you what?" And so, whenever he hired her for a film of his, he tripled or quadrupled her quote from her
and her scale. Her scale, yeah.
Yeah, like, yo, you got whatever you want. And then next, we came so close that she was his son's godmother.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they spent a lot of time together, and you know, he would fly her down to Atlanta, and she spent like a lot of time with the little boy, and they became family, like legit family.
He named a soundstage after her.
Yeah, one of the soundstages. So
I completely forgot he had a kid until you just said that.
Yeah. So okay. She lived a long life, and it seems like Tyler.
She was very generous. Well, she was also very generous. I've seen her talking to younger actors and actresses. She was very generous of her time and her spirit. Mm-hmm. Like I've been in a room with her a couple times and I've never been so bold as to approach her because I'd just be like, oh my God, that's just
Was she honorary Delta?
She was, yes.
She was, right? I thought I read that.
I've never been so bold as to approach her, but I always saw her kind of holding court. And she also used to do like a very private event at her house around during awards season. That was kind of like a little bit of a retreat, a building, uplifting of sorts, where she would invite like black actresses to have like lunch or tea or something like that. But it was really just like come to Sicily's and basically get blessed.
Get some knowledge and get blessed and get a good slice of pound cake.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So again, just peace and love to Miss Tyson and all that she did for us, and the way she just, you know, carried herself and her spirit was beautiful. And just last quick thing, for those who didn't get to see it, I would recommend watching the Bevy interview that she did, like Nye said, on Monday, because it was one of the rare, if any, interviews that she actually talked about Miles Davis.
Right, right.
She never really talked about their marriage publicly. Like, I don't know if she ever did.
Well, Gayle brought it. Gayle asked her about Miles too, and she said she still is absolutely in love with Miles. I love her life.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So I would recommend that. So peace to Miss Tyson. I gotta say something kind of weird, but did anybody else pass on? Because it seems like it's going crazy. Nobody else passed on in since you take the last show. Did they?
I don't think so.
Nobody of note. Okay, so we'll move on. From that, well, how's everybody doing? By the way,
they're doing good. I'm good-ish. I don't know.
You all right, Inga? How you feeling, Inga?
I'm chilling. You're ridiculous. I'm eating pasta. This is my first meal I had today. And honestly, me and I were just talking about this. I'm so sick of food. I'm tired of chewing, cooking, washing dishes, planning meals, grocery shopping. All that shit can go. It's some days that I just drink a little coffee and snack on some grapes or something. And I just can't think about eating. So today was first day. I was like, all right, let me make a fucking meal and not be...
Make a decent meal and shit.
Yeah. But I'm tired of food.
Yeah, we've been in the house a long time. We've been in the house a long time. Did y'all see this news? This is some light news. I saw that, as we noted a few weeks ago, Alex Trebek passed away. And right now, Ken... What is his last name?
Jennings.
The guy who won...
Jennings.
Ken Jennings, yes. Yes, he's hosting now, but they're going to do like some guest hosts. So apparently, two of the guest hosts are going to be Anderson Cooper and Dr. Oz. They're going to be, I guess.
I like the idea of Anderson. I'm not as excited about Dr. Oz, but I like the idea of him.
Yeah, I know Dr. Oz, he's a doctor, but I don't really look at him as like a cultural kind of guy like that, the way I look at Anderson as being that, you know, because Anderson does the New Year's Eve stuff and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he gets to interview kind of different people on his show. But we'll see what Dr. Oz does. But, I mean, I think it's kind of cool that they're not leaning on right now on just one person to carry that load for Alex. Because it's a huge load to carry.
I heard Maya Bialik is on that list, too, of guest hosts.
Oh, okay. Well,
that kind of makes me. Yeah. People like think of her in real life,
right?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, I ain't know that. I got piece of Maya then. Shit, you know?
Piece of Blossom.
Oh, wait. Piece I wanted to mention. I think it was you. I think it was you, Nye. Didn't you, was it you or Sean? No, it was you. You said some shit came up missing in your house or something like that? I said some gremlins took your shit. Wasn't that you?
Oh, you were talking to somebody else. Oh, did I say? No, somebody else said that we were talking about it. It was somebody else.
Oh, yeah, No.
Was it me?
It was Jeff. Oh. Talking about, I think gremlins be in my house because my shit come up missing.
No, but he was he and brought it back said, up. He brought it back up recently because somebody
this is like the other day. The other day, yeah.
It actually might have been me. I don't know because things go missing in my house. Things go missing in my house regularly. It's not.
Oh, that's what, no. I know what it was. You was talking about how you keep losing one glove.
Yes, I was talking about one glove. Yes, I was. That was me.
And the gremlins be taking the gloves.
It's
and the
not gremlins. Gremlins.
The, socks.
It's,
the gremlins take it's, the socks and the
it's,
gloves.
It's house sprites and fairies. It's not. It's spirits.
And you left that. You left that goddamn glove at the ATM at the corner by the bodega. You in your pocket.
That glove at Trader Joe's. Chill out.
Niggas got me for a whole pair of gloves like 2 weeks ago. Turn this house upside down.
That's because you be in these streets. That could be anywhere.
That's them shits could be
anywhere. Go up the hill and back down the hill. Y'all better... I mean, the gremlins... The thing about the gremlins, they're not mean. They're not going to hurt you. They just take a shit.
No, I was little when gremlins came out and that shit scarred me. I don't want them in my house.
I will agree that it might be like spirits or something because one time I lost the earring. I was looking for this earring everywhere in this house. A year later, I found it in my toolbox. There's no way I had my toolbox out when I lost that earring. But gremlins is like a different concept because they're actual little beings that you can see and they make noise.
They pop in, they run out, they run through a little crack in the wall, they keep it moving. They ride a mouse like a horse and get up out of there.
But I think you're thinking like the littles.
Oh, okay.
You're not the
do a little and all them. Whoever's doing it. Somebody
what are
doing
you
this
on
shit.
Today?
That's hilarious.
I wanted to mention Stacey Abrams and Black Lives Matter, who were, if I'm not mistaken, were both nominated for Nobel Prizes.
Both Peace Prizes.
For their work in. Kind of, you know, well, Stacey's work in trying to right the ship of democracy and obviously voter fraud and standing up for people's right to vote and to vote comfortably and to vote efficiently and all that she's done in Georgia. And then Black Lives Matter kind of goes without saying for the work of making Black Lives Matter, for lack of a better term, and all that encompasses that.
Black Lives Matter,
And they were. I know Black Lives Matter was nominated by a guy in, I think, Norway or something like that. I don't know who nominated.
No, the Nobel Foundation is in Norway. Anybody can be nominated, but then there's actually a nominating committee that.
It's a process.
It's a whole committee situation.
Yeah, but, so I mean, it was nice to hear. We'll see how it turns out, but it's nice that they're at least being recognized for the work that they've done.
You know? Well, I don't want to be a damper on such a great thing, but like, I would love for those very important people to also take note that what Stacey Abrams did in Georgia was really just trying to enforce what were clearly laws on the books that were being circumvented, right? Like, so if we feel like she's a person who has carried this water and a person who is should be eligible for this award, then in turn, these people should also acknowledge the fact that this shit was law on the books, right, and she had to go above and beyond to simply make people's rights be afforded to them, right? Like, I hate the narrative. Let me not use that word, but I hate the idea that, you know, there's something noble about this Black woman's labor when this was already our right, right? Like, this was already our right, and we're, and I get it. She understands we got to do the work, right? Like, we can think about all that other shit at another time, but right now, this is crunch time. And so she put her back into it, and God bless her. But I also think that at some point, we got to stop just heaping praise on that person that's doing all the labor and acknowledge the system that she's fighting this labor.
You're right. Yeah. One thing I will add to that, though, Sean, is keep in mind that the Nobel Prizes are awarded from everything that's about Nobel is out of Sweden. So it's not with an American view at all, you know? So I think that they may very well, like, in their full whatever that they present to her, actually acknowledge, you know, like you said, reinforcing rights that we already have on the books. But, you know, all we hear on this side is just Nobel Peace Prize. We don't even know the particular.
Sure. I mean, look, Jared Kushner was nominated.
Right.
So what?
His work in Israel?
Yes, for his Middle East work. And I'm using air quotes. Yeah. But Alan Dershowitz fucking nominated him.
Yeah. So. Fuck them niggas. I want to give a quick shout out to Charlie Green. Charlie Green, I just found out about him. He's a cat from Chicago. I don't know if he's still alive. Actually, I called a couple of my Chicago folks, and they had no knowledge if he was still living or not. But Charlie Green had a bus stop dance out that I posted on my Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of days ago.
But I'm so surprised you just found out about him, because he's like
he's a legend out there.
What's one of our New York legends? Like, he's like an equivalent of a Stormin Norman or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, if you were outside.
Maybe like a Hollywood or one of those.
Yeah, yes, like Hollywood. Just like Hollywood. Busy
B type,
Yeah. He's a legend in the shot. Like, everybody, a couple I spoke to knew. It's funny because they didn't know his name, but they knew the record. They're like, oh, I didn't know that's who that made there. But that record is one of those records that kind of like how Love is the Message in New York or something. A record that just plays infinitely, like, whether you, like, again, you guess a lot of people who's MSFB, they wouldn't know. But if you play Love is a Message, they'd be like, oh, yeah, that's...
They also don't know the name of the song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's true, too.
The Soul Train
song. The Soul Train song.
The Hustle song. That's it.
Exactly, literally, yeah. So Charlie Green had a bus stop record that was huge in Chicago. It still is. Apparently, it's one of those staple records. And I just discovered this clip the other day and posted it on my Instagram. But it was just fun to watch that kind of, I guess, probably like early, you know, late in the mid-80s era. And that was like that. That was like that after work party. That was like that Thursday night after work. You know what I'm saying? Like, you went there after work, 6:30, go home by 10, everybody having drinks. And this bus stop that he created became a huge dance that – yeah, I guess the people in Chicago still to this day. Chicago niggas, they love a dance.
The Midwest loves a line dance.
The Midwest love a line dance. Midwest and DC love a line dance. You get them a dance, they'll do that, motherfuckers. They'll be 80 years old still having contests and shit, wearing matching outfits and all that. So just peace to Mr. Charlie Green. If you are still alive, God bless you. If you're not, you did some good work, Mr. Green, and we appreciate you and we love you. Let's talk about. I want to talk real quick. Oh, yo, bro, did you see this LeBron shit? Did y'all see this?
Yeah.
In Atlanta? The white lady?
Yes.
So LeBron's playing, the Lakers are playing the Hawks in Atlanta for their. And that's a big game because the Lakers, those West Coast teams, they only come east like once a year. So when they come to New York, when they come to Atlanta, when they come to D.C., like, those are big-ass games. That's the only time you get to see them, unless it's playoffs or something like that. So they came to Atlanta for their one-year game, once-a-year game, about 3 days ago, two, 3 days ago. They're playing ball. There's this white lady who claims she's 25. I don't know about that. She looks a little older, but God bless. She's sitting sideline with her fur coat and her, you know, her diamonds and all that shit on, which already was interesting to me because in a normal Atlanta game, that front row was all black, pretty much. Like, so to see this kind of like white lady with the fur in Atlanta was like, oh, that's not what you usually see at the Atlanta game. But anyway, but there's very limited seating. Most teams don't even have fans come in. I think there's like maybe 9 teams, I believe, that are allowing fans to come in, but in a very limited capacity, Atlanta being one of them. I think it's 9 out of 30. I think it's 9.
Yeah, I'm out of the loop. I thought we were still in the bubble. Is that
over? No, the bubble's just lasting for the playoffs. We'll see if they go back to the bubble this year or not, because there obviously have been some COVID issues. Some guys have been getting COVID, whatever. But anyway, so this woman's on the sideline. Her husband says something slick to LeBron. Now, again, because of such limited seating, not that the players couldn't hear people on the sideline anyway, but now you can hear them, like, having a conversation. It's like you can really hear it. He says something to LeBron that really pissed LeBron off. We don't know what he said. So LeBron, like, stopped the game, kind of went out, oh boy, like, yo, man, basically, like, who the fuck is you talking to? I slapped shit out of you. Then his wife, the 25-year-old, she jumps up like, you don't fucking talk to my fucking husband like that. Fuck you, LeBron. And LeBron allegedly said, bitch, sit your fucking ass down. So they kind of get back into it. Of course, yeah, she takes her mask. No, he definitely said that. I mean, but I'm just going to say allegedly. But you know, he absolutely said that shit. He said, shut up, bitch, and sit your punk ass down. Something like that. So then they're going back and forth. She takes her mask down. And they, you know, they kick her out the game because it becomes a huge ruckus because, like I said, nobody's there. So it's really like you can see you can watch them arguing back and forth with each other. And then, of course, she immediately jumps on the gram. Immediately, as she's like walking out, she jumps on IG. And she's like, I got fucking kicked out the fucking game because of fucking LeBron. Fuck him. And, you know, she's trying to get her little 15 minutes and then they call her courtside Karen. The mess ensues.
And even LeBron tweeted like she was mad, wasn't she? Like he was cracking jokes on it.
Yeah.
I think that we all know the drill. White people are entitled.
Yep.
And white people aren't supposed to respond. And once we respond, it's a problem. They're the victim.
They're the victim when we respond to their fuck shit. They're the victim.
Yep. We've seen it over and over again.
Over and over again.
I mean, she's been listed as an influencer, which that gave me the lens and the perspective that I needed for this entire thing. I saw the pictures of her husband. We all know that guy.
We know that guy.
He's an absolute asshole to the servers. He eventually gets to that
I could buy and sell you shit.
Yes. He's absolutely that guy. He reeks of South Beach. He reeks of... You know what I'm saying? That
of Long Island.
We know him, right? So, look, it is what it is. I don't, you know, for me, I've gotten uncomfortable with the whole Karen thing that we do.
I hate the nickname.
This one particularly made me a little uneasy because we have really assigned that name to people that have attempted to bring harm. There was a sort of, I would say, a nefarious, you know, tone that you know, name was attached to, right?
When it started?
Well, yes. You know, it was the woman in the park who called the cops. Mm-hmm. So it's the woman calling the cops on the barbecue in Oakland, calling the cops on the kid with the water, right? Like, we understood that Karen kind of was a person sort of weaponizing their whiteness, white womanness in particular, to sort of get their way. This really wasn't the case. I thought LeBron's tweet, I just thought it was a little petty. Like, I just didn't think it was really I didn't think it was really necessary. Like you said, what you said, it kind of got there because it just fed the attention. So of course, she goes back online. It turns into she sends an apology, which when you read it, it's actually not an apology.
It never is.
She never apologizes to him, right? She says, "I lost my cool." Da 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 da. So she's going to do the talk show rounds, right? Like, we've just given her all of the things. Like, right now, she's probably doing a deal with some online brand that is going to put money in her pocket. So
should have hired another publicist.
Come on, man. I mean, we've seen this story. We know how it is, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, LeBron, because we initially thought, hey, this was like a combative situation. And then LeBron kind of made it seem like it was all in jest. And I'm like,
I don't know. Did he make it seem like it was all in jest?
Yes. He was like, he said, he basically said, no, I'm glad the fans are back. You know, we need that energy. We kind of go back and forth. Almost like in the same, he made it seem, in my opinion, he made it seem like the way Spike would get into it with Scotty. Or Spike into it with Reggie, where with Spike know them, you know, they talking shit for real. They're not talking shit, but they know them. So it's a little, you know what I'm saying? It's a little different.
Well, it was the image of this, you know, white blonde woman, you know, arguing with this big black dude, which is kind of what took it to another space, because it's like, is it racial? Did he call him a nigger? Like, we don't know what he said. It kind of, that's what lended itself, I think, to like becoming a bigger thing where it was on ESPN and all these other things. Because LeBron arguing with someone on the side is nothing.
I think that LeBron arguing with a woman courtside is different. And then, because there is a certain,
He's done that before years ago.
I've never seen that.
Yeah,
in Miami.
It was somebody's girlfriend.
It was a well-to-do older white woman who's you know, her folks clearly had some long bread. They had great seats, and they kind of got into a back and forth exchange, you know. But again, at that time, you know, we were also. It was kind of in the news around sports about how some of the players, you know, really sort of felt like this sort of zoo atmosphere, like people were able to, you know, talk to them any kind of way.
Get a little reckless with it.
And since that event, they've really sort of toned that down. That usually doesn't happen in those seats because most of those people are very well off. It's really like 1 degree or 2 degrees of separation from the people on the court when you're sitting on those seats, right? So there's not a lot of combative angst. Mm-hmm. So it really kind of shut that down. But yeah, we were talking, you know, the idea was that these guys were just kind of being humiliated and talked down to. So they've really started to step security up to make sure that they're like they're kicking people out with that shit. You know what I'm saying? And they're, you know, really making that a point. So again, I'm not like, look, you know, God bless, but I'm not really interested to go in this fuck and see the Lakers and the Hawks when I got a big screen TV at home. Like, I'm not going out in the Ponderosa to fucking watch LeBron put, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
What are we doing, my nigga? Like, what are we actually doing
for real? She got exactly what she wanted. She wanted to get on TV.
Well, she got what she wanted, but like, I'm just saying, like, also too, and I'm not going to go off on a tangent, but like, what exactly are y'all gaining from them 15 people
that you got in the stands?
Like, you got in the front row. Like if you got people in the stands, because I always say, okay, if you guys are gonna block it off, then yeah, make that court that courtside seat is now fucking row 10 or something like that. You know, maybe box it off. But like, to have them, you know, to try to re-engage in that. It's not just tone deaf and not just dangerous for not only fans and for players, but like, it's just dumb. Like, it just looks bad. It's poor. It's just a poor decision all around.
Agreed.
All right. So the next thing I want to bring up, we done discussed this twice in the past, I guess, a couple months, but here we go again. So I'm bringing up Chloe Bailey. And previous to this, we discussed the same thing with Lori Harvey. And I think before that, it was Jordan. I think we talked about Jordan.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm.
Which
yeah.
kind of similar kind of vibe. Yeah. So Chloe Bailey, who's one half of Chloe and Halle, which is...
the older half, by the way.
The older half, because she's 22, I think.
Yep.
Halle's 21. Halle's actually working on Little Mermaid, doing a voice for that. Chloe, you know, they're growing up. Well, they're adults now, and they're growing up, and Chloe's stepping into her young womanhood. She's a beautiful girl. It's a great shape, and she's, you know,
got a track body for days. Even though I don't think she runs track, but it makes us. That's with them on Grown-Ups, I was like, they actually have track bodies. It's crazy.
Yeah, they did
train for that. So.
Yeah, she's been lately on they separated because for a long time their Instagram was joined. It was Chloe and Halle. Now they've separated and they have two separate Instagrams. I don't know if the joined one is still active, but they have two separate ones now. And you know, Halle is feels to be the little I don't want to say shy conservative, but she seems to be kind of like not as outwardly sexual as Chloe. That I'm not trying to say.
I don't want to say it's sexual.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to pick these words. Because I don't want to make, I'm not pitting them against each other. I'm not trying to say one is fast. I don't know quite to say it. But anyway.
I think Chloe is just a little bit more, Chloe's a little bit more expressive. Like, I think.
Okay.
She puts more attitude into the stuff she does. And what I mean attitude, and I'm using that word, is because she said that. There's a certain way she feels when she performs, which kind of like how Beyonce described the difference between her and Sasha Fierce, right? Like, mm-hmm. so close and
a little more, maybe a little more edge.
Got a little more edge, and yeah. And I mean,
but again, but not in a bad way. I'm not trying to like.
She's aware. No. And I know you're not. The reason I said I want to be careful with sexual is because I think you meant anything by it, but because people are now taking use of that word and twisting it in a way that it's not meant, right? So I will say she's aware of her sensuality. She's aware that she's an attractive girl. And like she's aware she got moves. You know what I'm saying? Like
she's bad. She's bad. So she's been on her Instagram. You know, she did the Busta challenge. She did the silhouette challenge, you know, the kind of challenges that a lot of the young girls are doing now. She had another video where she was saging her home and kind of lighting candles and stuff.
And she was just in her underwear.
She had like a little her underwear on and a t-shirt. And again, she's just a great looking girl. She has a beautiful body. So it's kind of hard not to see what she's working with. So anyway, needless to say, the Twitter world and Instagram world jumped all over her neck and, you know, came down on her the same way they come down on Lori, the same way they come down on Jordan. Any young black girl who's just kind of like living her young black girl life and expressing herself kind of carefree. And that's the thing that drives me insane is like, there's been these hashtags always like carefree, live your life, black girl magic. But then when one of these young girls actually does it, it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Put your clothes on. You lost it all fast. Why are you acting like that? I'm like, what the fuck, man? I hate that shit with passion. And it's so contradictory because if for some reason a white person would have gone at Chloe, all these same girls who are shitting on Chloe would have jumped on a hashtag and been like, fuck you, you know, white person X or whoever it may be. Like, you ain't shit. Don't you dare tell our black girls how to act and blah, blah. It's just so kind of fucking bizarre and does nothing fucking makes sense, man. Nothing makes sense. And I don't want to be the super old nigga and make it a generational thing. I don't know if it's I don't know what it is.
I think some of it is generational. Like all of the hate that I was seeing was coming from black women that were like my age or older, who I think are just jealous of the freedom.
That they can do that.
But
right?
I see it from young black girls too who are heavily churched. It's two things. It's patriarchy. Mm-hmm. It's patriarchy. That's really actually what it just stopped there. It's patriarchy. Because there is an idea of, and what I really wish people would challenge themselves on is what they think is wrong about it, right? Because if you ask people with the Lori thing and with this, because I got this guy, he was so frustrated at me over Lori Harvey, because I was like, you don't have an answer. It's like, why is Lori Harvey's behavior wrong? And it was like,
yeah, why are you so mad, son?
It was like, well, she's never going to get a man like that. Okay, but why not?
What are you talking about? She has a man.
Yeah, because nobody's going to want a woman who acts like that. Why not? Like, you just keep saying the why not, even when they're like, well, it's wrong in the eyes of God, but why not? Well, because it's, and it's like, y'all don't really have an answer. Y'all are so conditioned to be mad that you don't know.
Let me ask you a question, Nye. When you were having this discussion with old boy, how long ago was this?
This was with the Lori shit.
No. How long ago was it, though, with Lori?
A couple weeks ago, whenever that was.
She has a man, Michael B. Jordan. Yeah. What are you talking about? She's never going to get a man. She has one.
That's what's so crazy. Like, there's the disconnect. And I'm just kind of like, y'all, first of all, Chloe's doing absolutely nothing that's age inappropriate, right? So it'd be
nothing.
So even if your argument is, but kids listen to them, okay, cool. She's 22.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nothing she is doing is age inappropriate. Nothing she is doing even borders on any type of porn or like actual sexual content. Or she body rolling at most. She's not showing you anything more than you would see in a bathing suit. Not even a bikini, a bathing suit. She just happens to have a lot of thighs and a lot of ass. You can't not see it.
Cut off jeans and a tank top. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, you just can't not see it. Like, you can't not see what she's working with. That's just the body that she has. And then she had to, like, she went on live and did a whole apology. It was about to cry. And I was like, I'm mad. Yeah. You can do that. You ain't did shit, mama.
I'm sick.
Like,
you have to do that.
In the live, she's saying that she doesn't even see herself as, like, attractive, or that she wasn't doing anything for attention or to be sexual. And I think that the assumption with the people that had a problem with it is that it was for the male gaze.
And when we could already tell
out
you
here
that.
Being herself. Like, I don't, there's nothing she's doing.
It was a lot of projection.
Projection, yes.
Mm-hmm. And there was projection with a fucking side order of jealousy.
Yes.
We can also add that. Okay. That's another part of this. And, you know, look, she's 22. How she has lived her life on social media, we've talked about this before. That generation, they only know social media. They're the majority of their interactions are via a phone, texting. You know, that's how they communicate. That's how they connect. She is just, you know, being a part of what is culturally going on at the time. And then she's being eviscerated for it because we have made her this sort of icon, right? Like, that's the other part, which is it, like, we take these young people and we make them a thing. We make them, you know, you got to be this and you got to be that. Like, I just saw the kid who was on the Hughleys did a Vlad TV interview. And he's tatted up and everybody was like, oh my God. I'm like, nigga, he was like 8 on the Hughleys, nigga. What do you think happened between the formative years of like 12 to 19, nigga?
Exactly. Exactly.
He was out here.
Yeah. In LA doing his thing.
I mean, 96 was a long time ago, nigga.
Yeah, like niggas be hello. Yeah, like, come on, nigga. Like, D.O., you be like, nigga, that was like 04, my nigga.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, Sean. The other thing is, like, these people lead different lives than we do. So, like, stop ascribing your normal everyday shit to them, A. B, like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know why we think the idea that we have this entitlement to celebrity. And I mean, I understand. We talk
but
about.
But you know, now you know where it comes from. You know where it comes from.
We talk about celebrity a lot on here, too.
But a lot of this comes from what, you know, we've seen on our lives, which is the ladies in church.
Yep.
She wearing a skirt too short, blah, 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 blah. The aunties at the cookout.
She's so fast.
With her shorts all up her ass. It's kind of something that is in our Black culture to kind of chastise and look down on the younger, prettier, sexier ones that like you said, maybe for jealousy that you wanted to be but couldn't be, and you hate to see the freedom of this generation doing things with no apology. So you gotta like push them down into the mud.
But social, but I will say just a little pushback on that. Social media has given us the right to entitlement. And by us, okay. I mean society as a whole,
yeah.
right? When we are posting those things, it is for the engagement. It is for people's opinions, right? So I say that because we can't be, and I've talked about this, like I like to be even keel. I don't like to get too high, so right. I don't have to get too low. And a lot of times we want to take all of the good shit that comes with this and none of the bad shit that comes with it. And there's a pro and a con. This is the con. Unfortunately, well, not even unfortunately, that's a bad word. This is a young woman who is still growing. Yeah. And yeah. it is sad that she is not able to enjoy all of the things that her peers are able to enjoy in the same fashion.
Right.
Unfortunately, that is what having a public life sort of entails. It means people having, like, you don't think fucking Lala Anthony, when she want to post her pictures, don't want to fucking hear about Carmelo every other fucking comment.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Like, yeah.
You get
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
yeah.
nigga, like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear about your opinion. I don't want to hear about why, you know, oh, my titties lopsided or my.
Yeah.
I just don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
I think what killed me even more, though, is that, like, we all know that some people will make a comment to celebrities because they just can't help themselves and they get off on it and there's like a power trip to it. Like, you know, because they don't expect the celebrity to fire back.
To respond, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think when people will go out of their way to, like, engage with arguments with other strangers on the internet about this, right? Like, the Lori Harvey shit blew me. Like, I was like, y'all really are invested in what this woman does that you don't know shit about. And, like, even when we were talking about also, some things like, niggas is creepy. This is the way my mind is working. I'm still sorting through it. We all know that women react to girls because it all comes down to us all being taught that men can't control themselves on some level, which is why it's all like a woman's responsibility. You can't show no skin in the church because it's a temptation. You
might get raped.
Like everything they tell women not to do in church is because you're tempting the men in the church who have to leave. Mm-hmm. And then out in the world, like, you're distracting boys from school. It's all about what the men are fucking doing. Everything we are doing is about the men's behavior. So women who reinforce that, it's the same shit. So with the red light challenge, there are people who went out and created apps to remove the red light filter. They could see ass and titties that's on the internet for fucking free all day, right? And there's still people who are like, well, y'all shouldn't have been posting the shit. And I'm like, how do you go to, it's women's fault. Women need to take accountability for posting it. I'm like, women need to not post it, but y'all ain't got no smoke for niggas who created an app to see some shit that was hidden, like, instead of just seeing titties on the internet that you tripping
creepy
over.
Creepy weird niggas. Creepy weird niggas that don't want to acknowledge the fact that they're fucking creepy weird niggas. And
right.
Yep.
I felt really, because the other part of this is what we're seeing is we're seeing young girls become women before our eyes.
Right.
And
in
it can
real
be
time.
Jarring. It can be jarring, right? It is watching, and we've seen this, you know, in the past. Like, we've seen when Usher became a young man and how women who were, you know, much older were sort of fawning over him, right? So, you know, we're watching this. We're watching this girl who we've basically, you know, when I say we, I mean as a society, like, they're introduced to us at like 16, 17 years old. And it's like, oh, my God, they're so cute. And then, you know, your husband might be looking at the Busted Challenge one too many times, right? Like,
word.
You know, her shit played one too many times. And hold on, nigga. Like, so I think that's also a part of it too, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, we've seen this with Kyla Pratt. We've seen this with many,
many
young
of them.
People that grow up. And it's like, you know, somebody was like, yeah, you know, Kyla, I'm like, nigga, she's like 33, my nigga.
Right,
like,
she's like, nigga, she's grown. She's,
like, she
she's
kids.
All the way grown with kids.
Yes.
Nigga, you know.
Yeah. Well, this is my thing, man. To the youngins out there, any of them listening, look, take them nudes, get that weird haircut, do that wild shit. You're only gonna be 22 once, bro. You never have that 22 year old body again.
I have no pictures of my best body. And this is the other reason why I support Chloe. when I was in high school and my first couple years in college before I started gaining college weight and then lost it and then whatever, I had, you know, I had relatively small breasts, but I had like a like that the ass and thighs. And, you know, it's still the 90s. And I felt like, you know, it wasn't like now I would have been all over the gram, all over everything like that. But then I didn't appreciate.
Yeah, we covered it up.
And, yeah. Now we were also in like the baggy clothes era where even chicks were wearing baggy clothes.
Yeah.
And it's, but I wouldn't even really like rock bathing suits in, like in front of a bunch of people. And even when people would be like, yo, do you know, like, I didn't know your body looked like that. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? Because I was always trying to lose 10 pounds. I was always, always trying to lose weight. So also looking at Chloe and realizing that, like, I don't even know if I have a realistic, like, memory of what my body looked like, aside from what I see in pictures. Yeah, because I have no photos of it. And I'm all I can be is mad that I didn't show it off more. Yeah. And I don't have pictures of it. And I don't have, like, I'm mad at myself for that because I'm never going to see that fucking body again.
Yeah.
I vacillate between being extremely grateful that there's like no proof of that era and really sad that I don't have a picture of like the 1 3-month period where I had abs.
You know what I'm saying? So take them pics, man. It's a dudes.
Do it.
Get that crazy. Dye your shit blonde if you want to. Like, it's all good. It'll grow
this
out.
This is the time. Do it.
Go through your red hair phase.
And go through your red hair phase. Girls, cut one side of the shit off. Look, don't do anything to hurt yourself.
Salt and pepper.
Yeah, the salt and pepper. You know what I'm saying? Get your asymmetric. Like, whatever you want to do. Again, don't hurt yourself, but don't hurt anybody else. Don't put yourself in danger. But all that shit that people's like, hey, you going to do that? Hell yeah, because you won't. Be able to, you won't be able to, but it'll be a whole different animal trying to do it at 50. So do it at 22 and enjoy your life and don't let these folks stop your flow. And Chloe, Jordan, Lori, and whoever else I'm not mentioning at the time, what's her name? The girl on the thing, Ryan Destiny, and all the young black girls out here popping now.
Yeah.
Like, keep popping. Have any of y'all watched Grown-ish yet this season?
No, I kind of fell off.
I have.
Yeah, it's only 2 episodes. I mean, I'm biased. I really like that show, but it's been good. It's been good. Yeah,
I really like Chloe and Hallie on that show.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you watch that show, you see they be cursing like they got edge. You know what I'm saying? They from Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? They got edge. They not some fucking corny Christian girls. They got edge to them. So
yeah,
but I enjoy Grown-ish anyway. Real quick, Love and Marriage Huntsville premiered last Saturday night, and it premiered with a bang right off the bat. For those who keep up with the show, we jumped right into Martell and Melody, going through their crazy shit. Martell has custody of all 4 kids. Well, I don't know, he's watching them.
Right. They do Melody on, moved, 2 weeks off.
2 weeks off, yeah, because Melody moved to Atlanta.
Which is bananas.
So Martell got all 4 of the kids, including an infant. Let's not forget.
Sorry.
The infant is
like 6 months. Yeah.
I just gotta ask, is this during school time?
Feel like they're taping around March of last year, March or April.
Okay, so the kids,
COVID is about
home,
to pop
home,
off.
Yeah, they're home.
So,
they're home.
All right, homeschooling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but like I said, he got all 4 and like, it's just him. Like his mom on the show, she came by, but she's not staying there.
Yeah.
So all 4 of those kids, it's like, it's him handling it.
She's not staying there on the show.
No, she says somebody it on the show. She's like, him. She says it on the show. She says,
No. Look at them edges and stuff laid on them little girl's hair. Somebody is helping him. He's not.
Okay. I'm saying that it ain't his mother. His mother says it. Like,
it
I'm
ain't
not,
his mother. Somebody
I'm not saying
help.
But it's somebody at that house.
Okay.
Somebody making them kids farina in the morning or something.
Pancakes.
Something. Get them kids some bacon.
Yeah. But so there's a... And what was interesting about... I mean, many interesting things about this show is there was a couple of scenes... Again, you know, Bro, if you saw it, you'd probably be able to tell better than me, because you understand production, I, you know, and I don't. but there was a couple of scenes where it... it seemed like stuff came out that the other person wasn't ready for. Like, it was, it, I mean, again, not to say that all reality is, like, set up. It's not set up. But it seemed like even with that, it was a couple of things that was like, wait, what the fuck? Like, Melody comes to the house because it's supposed to was supposed to happen. She's supposed to come, and then they have another place, and then, what's his name? Martell's supposed to go to that place, and he decides he doesn't really want to do that right then, and he hasn't packed his shit up because she's like, you're supposed to get out, and he's like, I'm not ready to do that. But then he puts it out there that he's going to apply for full custody of the kids, and you can see on her face, she's like, wait, what you said, nigga? Like she gets fucking irate. Like, you can tell she wasn't ready for that shit.
They were talking about the divorce and speaking through lawyers and blah, blah, blah. And Melody wants him out of the house. He doesn't want to leave the house. He doesn't want to go to the condo, blah, blah, blah. He wants to keep the kids in the same place. And she's like, no, I'm going to take them to Atlanta to my brother's house with me when I have them, because it makes sense. Like, if you're not going to leave here, I don't want to be around you. I can do my business from Atlanta. And he's like, well, I told my lawyer in response to that, that I'll just file for full custody, which we know in, you know, dissolution of marriage negotiations, you're going to go all the way left to try to get somewhere in the middle.
In the middle, yeah.
She didn't, that's not where her head went.
She wasn't ready for that. She fucking was spazzing on that nigga.
She's like, what the fuck you just say to me?
She said, I'll punch you dead in your shit. Like, she wasn't playing, bro. So, I mean, it was a doozy of a premiere episode. It was a lot going on. It was really intense.
Look.
Go ahead, bro. Did you watch it?
I did not. And I'll explain why. It's one of those shows. It's one of those shows where nobody has a redeeming quality.
Not a single person.
There is no, usually on a show, if there are 10 people on a show, like, I can hate 9 of them, but if I really like one person, that's enough for me to withstand. There is not one man on that show that seems to have just sort of good qualities. And
there's nobody on there you would hang out with.
Absolutely not. Right. And I don't, and I'm not saying this, and I'm not saying that I need my friends to be these sort of fucking pious, you know, like ultra, you know, we don't do any wrong type shit. Cause that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm
just
saying,
be around people that have sense though.
Yeah. Like we're on like season 3 of DeMartell and fucking Melody. Like, you know, what are we doing here? Okay. Like, it's season 3, right, my nigga. Like, what is this?
And I don't think, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I don't think anybody signed up to watch 4 bad marriages happening in real time. And that's what the show is.
That's literally what is happening. And it's like, actually very, you know, when you watch a show, I don't want to say, you know, emotionally draining may not be the right word, but it is not a fun watch. It is not an enjoyable watch. I think I've expressed this kind of how we got to the sort of Real Housewives space. Like, it's not fun. I watched the show, you know, I'm 25 minutes in and I don't, you know, I haven't chuckled. I haven't, you know, I haven't said, that was, you know, nothing. Nothing about it is enjoyable.
Right. And from the previews of the upcoming season, it's just going to, the intensity is just going to keep ratcheting up, especially between Mel and Martell. It gets way worse.
Because here's my thing, right? Like, let's just say, for the sake of argument, right, this was a very real thing that you wanted to implement, this very real thing of getting custody. Is that really something you put for the first time to your wife face to face on camera when you already have attorneys working this out, right? Like, it would seem to me that a rational man, like a grown up, would think that this is probably not an ideal time for me to spring something like this. Because I promise you, my nigga, like, if she had like gone off the handle, like for real, and like hurt that nigga, like, you don't know what might happen in that situation. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nigga, just.
She was fire hot. Hot.
And that's understandable, right? For many reasons. But of course, my point is, like, what is for TV and what is for and
what's what is real not. Life? Yeah, what's real life?
He has a lack of self awareness and accountability that's startling to me. I don't know, like, at what point. At what point is he not your friend anymore? Like, if that's your homie, like, at what point are you now pulling him and his tight ass suits up, like, my nigga?
Yeah, them suits, my nigga. Suits.
With the little, what's that ruffle thing called that he wears?
The ascots and shit.
No, that wasn't even an ascot. I don't even know where you get that from, nigga.
Yeah, like, that's definitely custom.
I don't know what haberdashery store you go to. What clothier?
How do you even describe that shit?
With, yeah, what, Nick? Yo, listen, I go to, you know, I go to the rack and I go to nice stores, but I also go to a tailor, nigga. My tailor ain't never pulled out no shit like that for me.
How about we try this here?
We going to try it. In fact, that nigga be telling my big ass, nah, you going to stay away from that player.
You can't wear a shiny suit if you work out
like he works out. That's just not a, can't do it.
He's so reckless with it. Like, he told another person on the show, her name is Destiny. And actually, I found that they all went to, he went to high school with her. So that's why they were, like, really close. But he told Destiny, yeah, you know, me and Mel, we was all right for a while. And she definitely got better, started doing more things to me sexually. And that helped me out. I'm like, nigga, like, why would you say that? Why would you say that on television? Because, like, why would you say that to anybody?
But
why
would you say Madonna whore complex. He married the girl that he thinks he was supposed to marry, who was the good look, but he, you know, sexually, clearly she's never been.
Yeah, he liked that. He likes a little more intense than Melanie's able to give. And so he blames her, like, hey, if you wasn't that.
A little spanking tug.
Niggas would just date the woman that they enjoy being
but
around.
But that's that patriarchy shit with. Too, though.
Yeah, instead of, like, you marry the girl who don't go nowhere, don't do nothing, and then you bored in the marriage and you mad. Like, the fuck? I don't
understand. What did I say 3 weeks ago?
Hoes need love too.
Hey, man. It's all good, baby. It is all good in the hood. you want to talk about Brooklyn Saints real quick?
Yeah, we could talk about Brooklyn Saints. It's new show on Netflix. It's only 4 episodes, which was was surprisingly short. It follows a youth football program in Brooklyn, over in East New York. Mm-hmm. That's where most of the kids are from. So we got to know a few of the coaches, a few of the administrators, and some of the parents, and some of the players. It was really interesting to watch, because it looked like they had a lot of footage that they kind of had to narrow down to these 4 episodes. But it was great. It was engaging. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the little kid, Aiden. He was my favorite. And yes,
he's like Papa from The Shy.
And I get it. Like, a part of it was that I felt like he looked like me, right? Like, I was like, okay,
that was me at 11.
You had to cast a movie for 10-year-old Sean, right? Like, Aiden gets that part for sure. But it was enjoyable. It was great to see people engaged and really pouring into children, right? Like, pouring into them in a way that I don't think we often see. It was mostly male-led, which I thought was also very interesting. A lot of these programs are usually moms. You know, there's the stereotypical soccer mom and the football mom and all of that sort of stuff. So to see the dads out there, and it seems like they're out there kind of on a regular basis, right? Like, this is not a once a week type thing, and they're engaging. And they're also men from the neighborhood.
Having been a
kid and having men like that in my life, I know how important that was.
Very
as
important.
I grew up, and how I viewed manhood and, mm-hmm. and responsibility and accountability and things like that. So it was really good. I hope they follow them. There were some things that I felt was a little, I was kind of like, but, I didn't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be that guy, but, you know, God bless. I'm glad, what's his name? Coach Gwala. They followed him quite a bit. He coached the, and I'm using coached very loosely here.
Wow.
You know, I think I told Jeff, I said, this is more of an enrichment program and not really a football program. Yeah. This is like, get them kids something to do from 3:30 to the sun go down and we know where they at. Right.
Yeah, not, really. Keep them on the street. Literally.
Them kids was, God bless them, but them little boys was out of shape. They couldn't tackle. They ain't know how to cut the lines off. I swear to you, when they said we going to Florida, I said, Lord have mercy, these boys get ready to get the snot knocked out of their ass.
They're going to get killed.
Them boys in Florida, I said, God bless.
Yeah. It's a good watch. Like Sean said, it's only 4 episodes, so it ain't too heavy. Don't take up too much of your time. I also enjoyed the kind of the each of the three or four kids who were, I guess, kind of more prominent in the show than the others, all had dads that were like in their lives, like lived with them, like they had, you know, fathers. It wasn't, and that was nice to see that, you know, that stereotype of like, oh, nobody in the hood's dad be around. I mean, we've talked about it on the show before. I mean, yes, there are a lot of people in the hood without fathers, absolutely. But I hate that stereotype of like, yo, nobody had a father. You're a fucking liar, bro. That's like, yes, there might be more kids without fathers, but don't tell me there was 30 of y'all and nobody's pops was around. Like, yeah. Nobody's, even if he wasn't in the house every day. Somebody was around, bro. Like this. Like,
yeah, he came through weekend something.
Something. You know what I'm saying? You knew Mr. James. You know, you Mr. Mm-hmm. Jackson. He was helping. So anyway, so it was nice to see that myth kind of blown up the smithereens. And it was another kid who I really enjoyed. My favorite kid was a kid named Keenan, who was a quarterback, but he actually was a robotics. He loved robotics. He was extremely good at it. Really, obviously, really smart kid. Like, robotics was his total passion. It was not football. Football was kind of like his people saying, well, like, we can use football to help you get the college out because they don't have the money to pay. But, like, I loved watching him, the robotic scenes with him, like, him and his teacher, because, like, he was great at it.
He was engaged. He was engaged. You saw him light up in a way.
Light up.
That you didn't. You actually saw him stressed playing football. He did not look like he was enjoying that process at all.
At all.
It looked like that this was your ticket to get to the next phase, mm-hmm. was basically handed to him. Like, that is what is drilled into him. Like, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. And I think, I spoke to you, Jeff, and I was a little disappointed. Maybe disappointed is a harsh word, but I was a little disheartened by the lack of sort of encouragement that it seemed like they had for the robotics things, and that they really kind of hearkened on football. And, you know, particularly for New York and particularly for states that have state schools where you could kind of go for free. Like, they have made getting higher education affordable. Are you going to have the traditional, I'm going to go away for 4 years, I'm going to, you know, kick it with my friends on this big, beautiful college campus? Probably not. You know what I'm saying? Are you going to have to jump on a train and you have to take a class at, you know, fucking 6 p.m.? Sure. But a college education in a few states are accessible for people who live in those states that are under a certain tax bracket.
Yeah.
And so this sort of drilling into these kids that this was your way to college, that this was your way. Like, dude, there are thousands of high school football players. And this is, at this age, this is no indication that any of these kids will
go into the league.
Or even some of these kids are never even going to play high school football. Yeah, they're not even going to play high school football. And that's fine, right? Like, the goal of this program is, they're saying that it is to get you to the next level, but clearly this program's results are about pouring into kids, making them feel a sense of bonding and those sorts of mm-hmm. things. I just wish there had been a level of education being spoken about in the same way that they spoke about football. Like, you know, having someone sort of walk these parents through some of these things might be good. And listen, I'm saying that in hindsight, right? Like, I'm sure they're going to have a lot of people now willing to pour into this program and willing to pour in and help. And I hope that they get that. And I hope that, you know, no one takes over the spirit in which these parents are operating in, right? Yeah. Like, you also don't want these kids feeling like they got to go to work.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's interesting, the kid, was it Keenan? I think it was Keenan or D'Lo. I think it was Keenan. His older brothers, they showed a little, they went to dinner at some little, you know, restaurant, a diner, whatever. And his older brothers, who also played in that program and went on to play in high school, I think one brother even played college, said to him, yo, it became work to me. And I hated it. D'Lo. And I hope that doesn't.
That was D'Lo.
It was D'Lo, right? And he was like, yeah, I don't want that to become you. Like, I don't want you to. He says, if you stop having fun, then stop playing. So your point is valid, Sean, that it did become work to some of them. And they, you know, they looked like, yeah, we didn't really like playing football no more. Like,
I had a friend of mine who played high level AAU, right? He had gone to Catholic school and like, you know, just talking and in passing, he was just like, yo, man, I'd never had a summer. Like, I don't.
You've had to play all summer.
You're playing literally all year, every year, all the time, right? Like, they, you know, it's not, you don't get to go fucking a week to Disney with your family. You don't, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, you got tournaments, you got this, you got that. So I do, but I also know that in order for you to get to those next levels, to get those kids in those colleges, that those are the things that you kind of got to do. So it's interesting. I hope that there's a season two. I definitely want to see Aiden. That's, you know, and he has no passion for football. He only wants to be out there to run around.
I don't even know if he actually was playing. Was he getting on the field?
He was out. They like put him out there, but he's not playing.
Up when they went camping.
Yeah, he wanted to go. He was worried about the snacks.
You know they got to take him out after like two plays. You know he tapping on the helmet.
Definitely watch it. Let's talk about the Wendy Williams. Wendy Williams Saturday, because there was actually two things. There was a 2-hour television movie on Lifetime, followed by a 2-hour documentary, going over Wendy's life. I'll start off real quick. In my opinion, I thought the movie was extremely lackluster. It just wasn't that good. They were blowing past huge swaths of her career and her life. Was like, what the
that's what
like,
Lifetime does though with these biopics.
But I think we can't keep blaming Lifetime, y'all. Lifetime.
Okay, maybe it was Wendy.
Because I'm saying that because granted, Lifetime as a network, obviously they have some say in what their final product is going to look like, how much they're going to spend, which contributes to how long you're going to shoot, how in depth the story is going to be, whatever. But like I want to give Lifetime credit for tapping Black creators to create this content for them. So when we skip over that and still blame Lifetime, I think that's unfair because they have the right people in place for these stories. Like Wendy did this shit, but I think somebody did say that there was some stuff Lifetime skipped over to avoid liability, like the Whitney call. And a couple, I don't know what else, but I know that specifically was mentioned because
Hot 97 thing, they skipped over her whole first run at Hot 97.
And I feel like that might have been on Whitney, because for Whitney to admit, like, Whitney's fame now came...
Wendy, sorry.
Wendy's fame now, I'm thinking about Whitney because the Whitney...
No, I understand.
But the Whitney movie is this weekend. Wendy's fame now came off the foundation of a very ugly tenure at Hot 97. And her being fired famously, you know, spectacularly from Hot after being at odds with literally every Black artist in New York and every other personality in New York, mostly, is what led to her eventually, you know, having to do her rebrand and all of that stuff, which led to syndication, which led to everything else. But it feels like maybe that's not, like, Wendy's never really walked back past behavior. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's
had never. She doesn't apologize for shit.
She's had to tone it down. Like, Wendy, I don't even think Wendy said the word allegedly until like 2006 when she was talking about shit. You know, so it's like she's toned it down a little bit because she's had to, but she's done some really ugly shit. Like, her career is built on some ugly shit. And I just don't know.
I guess I'll say allegedly to all of this, but she allegedly had a fist fight with Angie Martinez.
That ain't allegedly. That shit fucking happened.
That's real. Yeah. She allegedly, Puff is the one who got her fired from Hot the first time because of her constantly, like literally every day she was going on, talking about how he was gay and he was having dalliances with Andre Harrell and this one. And
sorry to interrupt, Jeff, but I also want to point out that for somebody who has such a large LGBTQ following now, most of Wendy's gossip was about outing people. Like, the largest amount. And she kept that gay rapper, down low rapper, all that shit going for fucking years.
And it was actually, people forgot that she also went into the whole gay thing with Lily from SWV.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was a lot.
And Whitney and Robin. That's why her, that's why, that was her whole thing with Whitney, was the Whitney and Robin.
Yeah, it was a lot, like Nye said, her first run of Hot 97 was extraordinarily messy. Her ratings were high because people tuned in every day to watch a train wreck, but the train wreck kept getting worse and worse. But needless to say, so I just thought the movie was lackluster. And now you're probably right. There was probably a lot of legalities as to why they couldn't cover things. It makes total sense. I thought the woman who played Wendy, she did good. She was trying hard with what she had to work with. And the guy who played Kevin actually was pretty good. He was like Kevin, like that energy, that vibe. He looked like Kevin. And again, they did what they had to do. But I didn't think the stuff they had to work with was great. The material was great. The documentary, I thought, was great.
Right. Because that's what somebody else said.
Yeah.
The documentary is great because obviously it's Wendy leading in. She's laying on her couch in her apartment. She has, I forget the disease, you remember it called?
Lymphedema.
Lymphedema, where your legs swell up. So she's got these things on her legs to stop the swelling. And she's laying on this couch, and she's just like riding this roller coaster of incredible emotion. Like, 1 minute, I mean, she's snot bubble crying. The next minute,
she was maybe on some medications. If she had lymphedema,
I don't know. I just know it's what I was. It was crazy. Like she literally snot bubble crying at some points. Mm-hmm. She's mad as fuck at some points. She's joking. Like, she's just flying.
You gotta remember, the whole Kevin thing and all of that with the mistress and the baby and all that, that's still happening. That's still very raw and very...
The baby is here. The baby's probably about 2-3 years old now. Kevin still lives with this woman very
comfortably.
Whenever
she would start talking about that is when she would break down, like,
yeah,
my nigga. Like, she would say, like, she still loved him and very much was in love with him. And even up to the point where she collapsed on the Halloween episode, she was like, okay, we can still work through this. Like,
because he kind of saved me. Like, yeah. I mean, because it was even times she'd be like, yeah, I'm just done with him now. But you could tell she's not. And I think a lot of that is, first of all, she obviously still loves him very deeply. That's the most obvious thing. And she did kind of say that he did this too, but I don't think she ever really fought it in that Wendy really never had friends.
No, she didn't.
Had friends. So Kevin was her only friend. Like, that's it. Like, like everything was him. She doesn't have a good girlfriend.
She's not even close to her sister.
Not anymore. Yeah. So like, and her mom now was sadly passed away. So like, she literally has no one. So Kevin being gone, it really hurts her because obviously not only him being the love of her life and leaving her and cheating and having a baby and all that stuff is just vicious in and of itself. But then like, even just like, she has nobody to come home and talk about things with, like, yo, guess what happened today, or guess what I heard. Or, she has nobody.
She had Kevin and Lil Kevin. Like, Wendy had one friend that she used to talk about a lot. Somebody reminded me of this. Back in the BLS days, too, in the Hot 97, I don't remember. But her, Wendy's story was always that she was, and I might have said this last week, but she was the odd one out in her family. Like, her family's super mm-hmm. bougie. You know, her mom and her sister, AKAs, her dad.
She definitely talked about that and they showed that in the movie, and she talked about it in the doc.
And I think they even might have been in Jackie Dill. So she felt like she didn't fit there. And
because she was heavy.
She, you know, weird body issues, mm-hmm. also like an awkward kid. Then, you know, I think it's important to also note, like, Wendy's whole career is based on gossip, but Wendy actually legit went to school for broadcast journalism. Like, mm-hmm. she went to school to actually be, like, a legitimate, like, I think she was on some, like, I want to say she used to really idolize Barbara Walters. But then she found out this gossip leak worked. And I think for her, it was like, because then she gets to New York, and what I'm imagining is, like, Wendy felt so much like a suburban Black girl that it was probably also the feeling that she was too bougie to hang out with the hip-hop crew for real, mm-hmm. right?
Definitely was.
But then she's too awkward to hang out with the bougie crew for real. So it's like...
And then she's Black, so the white girls ain't accepting her either.
Right. So I think Wendy might have become this girl who was like, when you're ostracized, you realize that if you got tea on people, folks will talk to you because they want to know the gossip. So, mm-hmm. and she finds out, like, this makes her popular, this gets her a listening base, this gets her whatever, but it's also ensured that she stays very alienated, because even look at the people that she does befriend that we know of occasionally, NeNe and Tamar, like, they're the same kind of personalities, same, you know what person. I'm saying? Like, same type of shit, and mm-hmm. I just don't know if she's ever, through her addiction, through, and I mean, Kevin was her only friend. I also wouldn't be surprised if Kevin was isolating her from people even further.
No, you know, she talked about that. She talked about that Kevin definitely isolated her as well. It was a combination of that. So, but I said, I don't know how much Wendy really fought the isolationing, because she didn't feel close to them anyway.
I was about to say that's a little convenient for the story as well, right? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So, I don't want to deny that or dismiss that at all, because that's a very real thing. But I also think that it's okay to acknowledge that you also played a role in said isolation.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
And, you know, you weren't, I mean, like, let's be frank, like, you weren't nice.
At all.
Like, you weren't anybody. A nice person. You were not a nice person. And everybody that encountered you, I'm sure, had their antennas up to think that, whatever I have to be mindful of everything I say. It's very difficult to have full friendships when people mm-hmm. feel like they can't really trust you, right? Like, they can't
you're really gonna run back and tell my business
and connect to you, right? Especially mm-hmm. you know, and at that time, you know, terrestrial radio, I get that people don't necessarily see that now, but all of the things that your IG models are doing right now with the bottles, you know, going to the clubs and doing that was radio DJs in their region. They would go, they would have 2-3 nights out a week where they would go to certain clubs and hang out
and get paid.
Yes. That was because they really weren't making, and listen, I'm sure Wendy has never missed any meals, right? Cause she's a shrewd businesswoman, but you know, they weren't making that kind of bread where they could just go home. After their shift.
And honestly, a lot of that stuff also was contractual. Like, as a DJ, like, you had to, like, because at that time there was a lot of remote. So it'd be like Friday night at the Shadow, BLS.
Oh, he's
like,
sponsored by BLS. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So your DJ, you had to go. It was part of your job.
Peace to my man, Tim. Peace to my man, Tim.
Shadow Boat Ride and all that.
Live tapings of the Shadow, baby.
Word. We see you loud and clear, nigga, Tim.
That's how I did all my partying in D.C. was hanging out with radio DJs.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. So,
but even in Wendy wasn't like...
No, she had a run. She had a run for a while. It was her. She talks about it.
When she was on Kiss?
It was her. What's it called? Mr. C and Kevin was the promoter. That's how they kind of met. And so they had a run. But then once Mr. C went to another station, he couldn't do the remotes anymore. And him and Kevin stopped talking to him. And he was like, nigga, like, I don't have no, I just, like, I can't do it. My job won't let me do it. And Kevin basically was like, nah, nigga, we'll figure it out. And he's like, ain't no figuring out. I work at Hot 97. I can't do something for Kiss. And then Kevin stopped talking to the nigga, you know. So, but the documentary was very. It was 2 hours, but it really was way more, in my opinion, way more engaging. The other, you know, she talked about, you know, obviously talked about pretty much everything. She talked about the affair. She talked about how parents, you know, would call her fat when she was a kid, and her father would say to her, "Wendy, you'd be so pretty if you lose weight." Like, so there was a lot of kind of negative stereotypes pushed into her as a child that she never shook off, because she talked about the plastic surgery and how she got her titties
It's such a cautionary tale that, like, you do that to your daughters, the first man that tells them that they fine is the one that they're going to end up with. And he could be abusive as hell otherwise, but if he's attracted to her, it makes her feel a little bit special.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's kind of like, in watching the documentary, I felt like I was watching somebody, again, to Inga's point, cautionary tale of she had this goal, she had this vision. Like Sean said, she is a very true businesswoman. She's made a lot of money doing a lot of things, you know, book, da da da. But like, so all the money, big, beautiful crib, you know, in the sky, you know, sitting on the couch, eating caviar and all that shit. And literally the most unhappy person I see.
Not happy at all.
Caviar and Doritos.
Caviar and Flamin' Hot Doritos. and literally, she is so unhappy. Like, you know, in her big, beautiful house and her big, beautiful couch and her Rolexes and stuff. And she's so unhappy because Kevin is gone. Little Kevin is, you know, damn near an adult now.
Yeah, he's got to be 20. Yeah,
that'd be at least 20.
Like 20. I think he got to be like 23 or something like that. Maybe.
Nah, he's a young.
Because he's still in college, right?
I think he's about 20.
Yeah, I think he's a college. I think he went through some shit, Jeffrey.
I think he's college age.
Right. Yes.
Okay. College age and trying to figure it out. And God bless him, I'm sure he will. But basically, like, once little Kevin gets, you know, 22, 23, and he starts moving, because obviously, like, they have the finances where he doesn't have to stay at home if he doesn't, you know, want to or whatever. Then, like, Wendy's going to have nobody there. It was tough.
It humanized her for me. I really hope that she finds somebody that she can be vulnerable with and, like, build a girlfriend friendship with. Because I can't live without my girlfriends.
You know what I think is interesting is that I think she has sort of married this life. Mm-hmm. And this life is where she gets that from, and it almost seems like, hey, I'd much rather deal with the 6 hours a day that I don't have people and get these applause for the other 6 hours. You know what I'm saying? Almost like there's a conscious trade-off for this, right? Because, you know, friendships take work, man. Friendships that are reciprocal take work. They don't often come this late in life. Right. Yeah. You don't often find that. You find convenient people to hang out with, but of course she's going to have her guard up, as she should. You know what I'm saying? You know, her life has been public. She doesn't really kind of know. So there's going to be a level of guard up that's going to be really, really intense, even with the people she's hanging out with. They're not getting all that deep shit. So I think what we get and what you saw, maybe with her crying and some of that sort of shit, is probably her letting loose, because this space is comfortable for her.
Yeah. It's like Michael Jackson said, he's most comfortable when he's actually on stage. Once he left the stage, shit was bonkers. You know what I'm saying? He said, as long as I can stay up on that stage and sing and dance, I'm Gucci. Once I walk down them steps, I don't know what's happening. So, you know, bravo to Wendy for, you know, great television, you know, which I'm sure she's happy to hear. This week, like Nye said, we got the Whitney thing. I don't know if I'm going to watch that.
I need them to let Whitney rest. Like, it's enough, because every story that we see of Whitney is not even so much about her singular talent.
It's not a celebration.
Why she broke the mold, not even going really into her relationship with Clyde or anything. It's trying to get to the why did Whitney self-destruct? What happened?
And
I mean, I think the simplest answer is just that Whitney didn't even know what she wanted or who she was. We're never going to find like a one singular answer that's going to make everybody feel okay about what happened to her. And I just wish people would quit Monty. I mean, and maybe I feel this way in part because I'm one of the people who watched it happen in real time, but it was such a train wreck to watch over years, right?
Yeah, like, years.
I sat on air when I watched the, what is it, the I Can Only Be Me, was that what it's called? Or,
was that the documentary?
Yeah.
The Showtime one, is that one?
I think it was the Showtime one, which was the one I actually, I don't want to say the word enjoy, but the one I thought was...
That's the one that Robin was in, correct?
Robin didn't actually interview for it.
Okay, Robin was in one doc, but I don't...
Been I don't think so. Robin was in one.
It's ridiculous.
No, Robin definitely was in one.
Are you sure it wasn't just video? Because Robin made it a point to not speak about Whitney publicly at all.
No, there was one when she did. She actually spoke. But I don't remember. There's been so many, I don't remember which one.
This one ended with a young Whitney talking about how she wanted to be remembered. And it was at the end of that, like, and I say this to say, Whitney's shit had been messy for so long that for so much of her career, for the majority of her career, really, that it wasn't until watching that moment that it really finally drove home to me, like, oh shit, that Whitney is the same Whitney. You know, like somehow I had separated them in my head. And I had started looking at Wendy, like, you know, post mid to late 90s moving forward as a whole different Whitney than like the Whitney of the 80s until like that bodyguard line. And it's, and I was really like, damn, that's the same Whitney. But I think that that's all people want to know is like dig through the mess. And I don't think there's any more digging to do. You're not going to find out anything more that we don't already know.
Yeah, nothing new.
Exactly. But I think this is a testament to our incredible, like insatiable appetite for salaciousness.
True.
There is no stone that has been left unturned about this woman, about her life, about her children, about her marriages, about her addiction. And we continue to do this at a rate that's even way more intense than Michael, way more intense than Prince. Yep. And you know, I'm just, to me, like, I'm very shocked that there was even an appetite for this. I'm very shocked that anyone even felt like they needed this and that they kind of went through with it. And also, there's a point where I kind of feel like it's a little ghoulish, right? Like
it's a lot ghoulish.
There's a very, you know, grave digger, like very, like sort of, it's just weird. It's weird. It's callous. And I think that maybe they feel like because, you know, unfortunately her daughter has gone as well, that they can now continue to do this. And I mean, listen, there will never be a shortage of people who will come and do an interview for a show like this because, you know, they could use $1,500, $1,000 or whatever it is.
Two grand
or whatever. So yeah, there'll never be a shortage of that. But at some point, I think people will just stop looking. And I think this might be the point where it breaks, right? Like this might be the point where like maybe the appetite isn't really there. So
yeah, that's what I was going to say too. The fact that Bobby Christina is an extension of this tragedy. Because this documentary coming on Saturday includes a lot of Bobby Christina stuff with Nick Gordon and blah, blah, blah. So like they're trying to stretch it out, you know?
And that's
so,
when Bobby going to start cussing niggas out.
Exactly.
They couldn't do it the same way with Whitney because they weren't married anymore, but with Bobby Chris.
That's still his daughter.
Yeah.
So Anka, you got the last word before we wrap this thing. You got anything else to say about it? Or if not, do you have a shout out to this week? Because you should do.
I always got a shout out. Shay Moore. It's the young lady on TikTok. Shay Moore, who is chronicling our elders and their interactions with us.
All the recipes.
On video, and it is so on point. Today she put out one that was when you run into somebody who you haven't seen since you were little, but they like watched
your mother's friend.
Boy, like, ain't you Tasha Daughter's
friend for real?
You still don't know who I am, do you?
I am doing it. Yo, nigga, eating them skins though. When she pulled out the skins, I said, "Oh my god, this is
100% wild." On point.
So everything just down to her, like her, like you said, her mannerisms, like even the joint with the car, the way she. It was a couple subtle things that was so fucking perfect. Like when she did the thing with the car, with the guys in the car, how she turned her back and leaned on the car while she was talking. Like, yeah. Like, I'm like, yes, that's what they would do. They would lean on your new car and talk to you about, like, she's amazing, yeah. Bro.
The fact that happened in a Walmart parking lot, yes. The video she put out today, I was like, this is so perfect. Oh, perfect. And one other thing, I'm getting vaccinated. I'm so excited.
Yay! When are you doing it?
Next week. Yeah, I qualify. Not going to question it. So,
maybe, military wife, maybe
the military.
Well, Trav didn't qualify.
Oh shit! Damn, good luck, Trav.
That's a prayer, Trav.
You be all right.
God bless.
So, soak some Epsom salt, nigga. You be all right.
I'll let y'all know how it goes.
Yeah, let us know how it goes. Two of my cousins have done it so far, and they said it's been nothing. No real side effects. I mean, your arm is a little sore or whatever, but nothing crazy. You didn't come home feeling weird. So,
Greg got his on Saturday. He said the same thing. It's just his first one, rather. It's just the arm.
Okay. Now, can you just walk on up? Can we just go to the armory and see what's popping?
Right now, they're only calling for, you can only walk up if you're over 65. If you're any younger than that, I think you have to have been called in to get
hey,
it.
Hey, nigga, you.
I don't know what
over let them, you better let them braids come in, nigga.
No, let them go. Wait,
hey, my grandbaby just dropped me off. Y'all come on in here real quick. My grandbaby went over to the store to give me some limes and some. I need some detergent and some peaches. Come on in for an hour.
That's legit. Literally, no one knows how old you are. So
we don't even know how old Jeff is.
Let me
tell you this. I saw a picture of Jeff. That nigga had to be in college, and that was definitely like a 78 Oldsmobile in the background. And that's what I said.
A deuce in the corner.
Yo, Jeff had a Walter Scotty mustache in college. That's how old that nigga is.
Yeah, oh. Turtleneck.
Like Prince said, time is a man-made construct.
Yeah, anywhere between 26 and 69.
There you go. And we just stay right in there. Anywhere between 38, 73. You know, pick a number. shit, I might have been in the back of that Charlie Green video. You look close. three-piece suit on there coming out to work. So on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Y'all stay safe out there. The ones in New York, stay warm. And everybody else, stay warm and safe. And wear your mask and email us. I've been getting a few emails and stuff people just liking the show. Please keep emailing us at thepoplifepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from y'all.
And you can continue to tweet us too. We love it when people.
Definitely tweet and Instagram or leave a message
and rate the show.
Rate the show.
Peace to everyone that left a comment.
Yes, and we'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.